everybody, and welcome to part two of Suddenly, the 10th episode of the 8th season of Grey's Anatomy. This is Grey's Anatomy. Go listen to part one if you haven't already. And if you have, welcome. You're in the right place. We are thrilled that you are here. And while we were on our break, I realized I didn't read the Netflix synopsis at the top of the last episode because I was too excited to talk about the episode. So the Netflix synopsis for this episode is Teddy asks Christina to help with an OR patient. So
go on.
That's it. That's the synopsis for Netflix and Hulu. Sheesh. So, you know, I mean, it's, again, it's not wrong, but there's just a lot of other things happening. Like a wildly traumatic car crash.
Goodness. Yeah. If it's not wrong, it also doesn't mean that it is right.
Yeah. Okay. We will start this episode with everybody's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland! You better have something for me.
I don't.
You're a liar.
I was distraught. I was like, is this a fucking joke? Because I remember in the last episode, you were like, no more zero Shondalands in 2025. And I was like, is this a fucking joke?
I guess, honestly, it makes sense because it's kind of a continuation. Yeah. It's pretty much all the same people.
Really, they just added the family from the car crash.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's all the same people. But I was like, I hate it here. I was not pleased. I was like.
So we haven't had a single Shonda crossover in all of 2025.
No. I'll just maintain that Shondaland is Henry having to die so he could go be Jake in 2 years.
That was it. It was all leading up to this moment, and that's it. It's all done now.
Yeah. So that was a bummer. And I was like, I almost texted you when I went through it because I was mad. But then I was like, nope, can't spoil it.
No.
Gotta tell him live.
It's gotta be authentic. And then we have this wonderful conversation. But because there's no Shondaland and we have time, we have a couple minutes to talk about things now, I think we should tell people we're just having a really good conversation about the Paw Patrol and Spidey and cartoons and things.
Screen time in general.
Yeah.
It does affect your children.
Yes.
The
studies
attitude.
Have shown.
There are many things that are on television for children that are of value. And there are many things on television for children that are awful. Not in like a terrible example kind of way. Just like as a parent, you're like, why?
Yeah.
My parents hated Barney. And my sister really liked Barney. I liked Barney. My parents despised Barney.
I also
like,
grew up on Barney.
With a passion.
Barney and Thomas the Tank Engine were big for me.
I loved Arthur. Huge Arthur fan.
Yeah.
Arthur on PBS was lit.
What what I was gonna say. What was I gonna
Sesame
say about
Street's a classic.
Oh always yeah, classic been, Sesame Street. Clifford. I remember watching Mr. Rogers growing up.
Oh yeah, I watched Mr. Rogers for sure. A lot of those, a lot on PBS, honestly.
Yeah. That's part of the difference though. Like Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers, you're watching a screen of a real person.
Yeah.
Watching a screen of these intense colors and light sequences and it's like disrupting the brain activity and growth of your kids. It is crazy. I will say, I think the elder millennials are the ones who probably have dug themselves into a little bit more of a hole with like having to backtrack out. Because I think the older millennials in our generation are the ones who've raised their kids more on like, happy birthday, here's an iPad. This is a cool new thing that Apple made. So now you have a tablet in front of you at all times. And we don't really do that. I don't think you guys do. You guys aren't really tablet folks
more
either.
Just for traveling, essentially.
Yeah.
And like even like in the car, we have the pull down thing, and that's ideal versus having a tablet like 5 inches from their face.
Yeah.
I will say there's like, I don't know why I knew this before having kids, but the American like Pediatric Association recommends no screen time before 2. But if you don't just know that, and if you don't have a pediatrician that like helps educate you about it, you're not going to know that.
And a lot of people also in our generation are like, well, we were fine. Like, we grew up watching TV, but you got to think about like the TVs you're watching in like 92, 93, 94 versus like the 50, 60 inch flat screen, like OLED, like laser blue light into your brain.
Right,
it's just
right.
like a it's like not comparable.
I think that the TV I remember we had, like I remember going to my grandma's house. She had this big, gigantic, like probably 80 inch TV. Okay.
And you could like climb in and live in it.
Yeah. Like you could go inside it and it would like fold down and it was
like a house.
It was like a light and then three mirrors that were reflecting things back on the screen. Remember those ones?
Yes.
And I'm like, this is great. Like I could watch that for my entire life and never have cataracts. Right. Like,
right.
But now, you know, you have to, I've developed an astigmatism because of how often I'm looking at blue lights.
Screens. Yeah. They have blue light glasses, which are great for like screen time for adults.
I need to get them. I need to get them.
There's some decent ones on Amazon for very inexpensive.
Well, I need to actually go and get a professional one because I've bought blue light lenses before from Amazon and it looks like I'm going from like HD to like standard def or like 1080p, and when I put the glasses on I'm like, you're 480. When I take them off, life is real. And then it like,
when you're at the office, do you use a desktop or your laptop?
It depends, usually my
laptop.
Well,
because they have like attachments that you can just put on your desktop, and those are, it's just like a little screen that goes over the screen.
Oh, I guess
I know you have a
laptop.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's like a screen protector for your laptop. Cause the ones I'm thinking of are like, it's like it attaches. It's not
okay.
Like
interesting.
Anyways, just something to look into. Anyways,
moral of the story is, and also don't take this as a judgment. Like if you give your kids tablets, like trust us
or let
we
them
know
watch television. We've done it.
Yeah. We also were coming out of a phase where Marlo was like really hard to do dinner time with. Mm-hmm. And we had to do, we called it special dinner, and she would like sit in one spot and actually eat in front of the TV. But then it was like slow eating. And then all of a sudden, like an hour and a half goes by and the movie's over. And like, we've watched this whole thing and we're like, well, shit, what, like this sucks. But now we're slowly getting back into like, okay, we're going to sit at dinner. If you want to have a couple toys or a book next to you, cool. But like, no TV. This is food time. This is family time.
Yeah, it's definitely like a tool that can be used to help. But it's definitely easy to fall into like a routine of it, just like putting it on, especially like in the winter for you guys, for sure. Like you guys do a lot of outside play, and like, that's just not always an option when it's a single degree.
We went to the library for the first time this past week, though,
oh my God,
which was
love
great.
The library. They're so cute.
Got library cards for us as a whole family. That was
having fun isn't hard when you got a library card. Arthur.
Nice.
A bop from Arthur. Anyways, I remembered like we had talked to our pediatrician in Florida was like felt very strongly about like limiting screen time. And he was like, when you do go to screen time, like if another benefit of doing real people versus cartoons is they're actually watching like a person's mouth move, which is part of how kids learn to speak.
Right.
Versus a cartoon where it's animated. So like, yeah, their mouth is moving, but it's not necessarily true to how a person looks when they're speaking. Which is, I will say, like, bless Miss Rachel. Cause I do think that she is like made a huge difference for like kids' development. But
especially because when you think about the COVID generation of kids, like so many of them were set back.
It was hard having Scarlett during COVID. I was like, Scarlett never saw anything until she was like, never saw any screen time until she was, I did make it very far for being a stay at home parent during COVID. I think we got to like 19 months, and it was because she saw, like, someone sent me an Elmo GIF on my phone, and she was obsessed with Elmo, even though we had never watched Sesame Street because we went to SeaWorld all the time and we had a bunch of Elmo books. So she saw like a GIF of Elmo moving on my phone, and she was like, hold the fuck up. This guy's a real.
You can access this person in our home.
So then we did for, again, until she was two, I think she got like one episode of Sesame Street a day after her nap. And not even every day, only some of the time. But I just used, I remember thinking it was so funny because like we were in our living room all the time because it's where we kept all her toys and we had the TV, but she had never seen it on. So I'm like, for the first like year and a half of her life, she just thought we had this giant black square on our wall that didn't do anything.
It's art.
This is my art. But yeah.
Yeah, we made it. We made it pretty close. We did not make it to the 2 years. I think we made it probably right around the same, like 19 months. And it was, I think it was a real person first. So it was like either Sesame Street or Miss Rachel.
Yeah.
Because
I love Miss Rachel.
Yeah, Miss Rachel is great. I think I remember we had tried showing her a couple of cartoons and she like was not interested. But
she
the
didn't
second
give a fuck. I remember Jessica being like, I kind of wish she cared.
Yeah. But Miss Rachel, she was like glued. She was like obsessed with watching that.
That woman has a gift and is a gift to all parents. Anyways.
So true.
Get back to Grey's Anatomy.
Should we talk about Henry?
Yeah. Well, real quick, because this is a quick one, and then we'll talk about Henry. The baby.
The baby.
Alex brought in, goes to the NICU. Alex goes with the baby. Arizona's like, hey, you actually just went through a trauma, so like you should take a break and get checked out. He's like, no, bah! And gets really mad.
Boy,
then
bye.
Freaks out,
go get
and
checked
goes
out.
Back. And Arizona's like, fine, okay, you can help. But like, slow down, take a breath, take your time. He does it. Everything's fine. Goes away, comes back again in a panic and is like, I didn't do this thing. And she's like, yes, you did. I was there. The baby's fine. Like, you've got to calm down and you've got to actually take a break. Like, you're have like adrenaline shock, like God knows what else, no sleep, all this stuff. So then he finally like, is like, oh, okay. It's one of those things where they're like, you can't take care of someone else unless you take care of yourself. I'm like, that was real in this instance.
I actually was nervous in that scene that he had like a concussion or like a really intense brain bleed or something. And I was like, oh, they are going to kill Alex. The silent killer is going to get him.
So true.
But then he was fine. Everyone else died. Alex was fine.
Alex is fine. Good news. Yeah. So that was kind of really the only thing with it. And then he does Meredith stitches later and like, she's glad that the baby's, you know, he updates her and it's like the baby's doing really well. So that's kind of like a silver lining. It's like everything that the whole reason that they went out and did that was for the baby and the baby is okay. So good news for them and the baby.
I guess that I didn't even realize that. Imagine all of that happens.
I know, right? Oh my God.
And the baby dies after all of that. It that sucks be though because the baby lives, but you know, yeah, the rest
well,
of the
it doesn't suck
because
the baby lives.
Well, it doesn't suck because the baby lives, but it sucks that the baby lived and then that whole other half family died.
Yeah. So
it's the
ambulance's
fault.
That was kind of
it
really with the Alex in Arizona. And then Alex, does bear the stitches and they're like, okay, well, cool. That's pretty much it.
Go sit down, take a nap, take five, go rest.
Yeah. So, okay. Henry is dead. It's upsetting. I hate it so much. There's discourse on telling Teddy or not telling Teddy. Like, what do they do? They're going back and forth on it. Owen, Richard, and Bailey are all arguing. And they're like, well, what? Like, there's no answer that's good for Teddy. So you have to default, like, what's best for her patient. And what's best for her patient is for her to save her life. And if we tell her her husband's dead, then she probably can't do that. So when the trauma comes in, April comes out to the ER and she's like, hey, Owen, like, what can I do? I need trauma. Like, I want to help with the trauma. And Owen's like, no, you have to go back in there because Henry's dead. And she's like, what? What the fuck? And he's like, don't tell Daddy. And she's like, OK. And he's like, maybe you don't go back. Never mind.
Yeah, there was that scene where so when they're having their discourse and Weber's like, it's fine. She's going to be fine. I've been through worse is kind of like what he's implying. But when Hunt goes to Christina and is like, if the patient dies on the table, this will all have been for nothing.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I guess that's true. But like, that doesn't mean this doesn't suck. But
it doesn't mean that it's like, yay, Henry died.
Yeah, this is one of those times where the truth doesn't set you free. In fact, the truth just makes your life worse. The truth is, we don't want this other patient to die. The truth is, though, that it sucks.
Yeah, it's just brutal. Like, again, it's kind of one of those things where I'm like, well, I think what you're doing sucks, but I don't have a better solve, so.
Yeah.
Of course, because it's Shonda and because it's drama, Teddy's like, I have to have Christina in here with me. Christina's like ignoring her pages, so Owen goes to find her and she's like, Teddy's requesting you. And Christina's like, oh, you haven't told her. No, I won't go in there. And he's like, well, you have to. To your point, to basically be like, otherwise, it, like, what was even the point? So she goes in. Teddy's like, are you mad at me? I'm really sorry we lied to you, but I knew it would be fine. I didn't trust anyone else to do it but you.
You don't even know, Teddy.
Christina's like, I'm not mad at you. Everything's fine. So she scrubs in and they're in there for hours. Hours together. They take this woman's heart out and repair the valve outside of her body. Teddy's like, let's put on music. What music do you want to listen to? And then she's like, we used to do this thing in med school where we like did happy screams to stay awake. Like, let's have fun. Ah, it's brutal.
And what's crazy about that, so I had to make a note of this. I had to watch it a couple of times. So it was called a cardiac autotransplantation for an ex vivo valve reconstruction is what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And all of this is happening, and she's like, if this is not on your bucket list, your bucket list is wrong.
Yeah.
If Heart in a Box didn't tell you to do this, and Heart in a Box lied, like, yep. Come on. And that's what really is, I think, the icing on the cake of how garbage this must feel for Christina, because she's getting to do a life-changing once-in-a-generation procedure with a woman whose husband she just killed.
She didn't kill him. You kind
of phrase it different. And she didn't even know. Well, technically, Weber killed him.
He just died.
I remember them using a laser to kill him.
Mm, you were watching the wrong thing.
Mm.
Yet again.
I remember Weber taking the first opportunity he had to cut that man's chest wide open.
I think you're thinking of Izzy cutting the LVAD wire.
Yeah. Which, speaking of LVAD wire, if you haven't, go to our Patreon at patreon.com/Grey's Academy Pod and do that so we don't have to cut your
LVAD
wire.
How is that speaking of an LVAD wire?
Because I just said, I tied it all in.
I see. Okay.
It's called the weave. It's called the, what's his name say? I do the weave. I bring lots of things together and I bring it all back. It's called the weave. These people don't
even know. Are you doing the Donald Trump impression?
I was trying to do a very terrible one specifically because I have a good Trump impression. I didn't want people
but
to
I just don't remember him saying that is all. That's why I was confused. Yeah,
he was at a rally.
I hate it when he speaks.
He was trying to justify the way that he talks in incoherent sentences at all times.
Mm. We're so lucky.
Hashtag not my president.
So lucky to be alive right now. I hate Elon Musk so much. Oh my God.
Yeah, it sucks because I just got my Cybertruck too. So.
It does suck because that means we can't be friends anymore.
Also, folks, I'm kidding. I didn't just get a Cybertruck. It'll be here tomorrow. just kidding. Also lying. Can't afford it. Ooh. Too poor. Capitalism
also,
has not
it's
helped
terrible.
Me enough yet.
They're
it's a
terrible.
Cool truck. It's a great
it's
truck.
It's not. It's neither great nor cool. Both of your thoughts on that are wrong. Even if, like, you wanted to say it looked cool, I would just hard disagree with you. But, like, objectively, that's a bad truck. Subjectively, you can think it looks cool. Objectively, garbage.
I think I would get it wrapped in metallic gold.
Oh, that one is already here.
I know. I want it, though. I want the same one.
I thought you said you didn't like that one.
No, actually, I don't. I think I like the, I see a lot of people wrapping them in the matte black. The matte black is pretty cool.
Yeah, I disagree, but we do have a matte black one here in town, and then there's also the gold wrapped one, and then there's a camo wrapped one, and then there's like a silver one. Yeah.
The camo is just so tacky.
Well, it's, let me say, it's not the green camo, all right? It's blue and black for whatever reason. I'm like, you'd think camo would be the best because then you couldn't see it, but I still somehow see it all the time.
Anyways.
What were we talking about?
So
Henry,
we were talking
Henry's
about...
dead. It's very sad. Yep.
There was that scene where... So they're doing this kind of like small talk and... Christina really tries to change the subject because she's asking, she's like talking about Henry.
Yeah.
And Christina's like, remember that time Kepner spoke and her voice was super annoying? Ha ha ha. Let's make fun of it for 5 minutes while Jackson walks in the room and talks to Kepner.
And I will say, I don't think that Christina thought the intercom was on. Not that that makes it that much better, but I don't think that she thought that April could hear her.
I mean, at one point she does just yell up to April and says, you're closing. So I think she had
to have known.
That's
way later. That's like hours later. Someone's probably used it to speak to them at that point.
Okay. Now you're just filling in gaps that have no reason being filled in. We didn't see... You're helping the writers along here. They could do their jobs fine.
It's literally hours later. Like, they fully took that woman's heart out of her body and repaired it. You think they did that in 5 minutes?
That's like a 5 minute. I could be in, out, 2 minutes. Look at this. Snip, snip, pump, snip, done. Stitch. Close up, April.
Okay, you just cut all of the other arteries. She has the one artery that they need to patch, and you just cut the other three.
Well, I found one that needed to be replaced
when
I was in there.
Terrible doctor.
It was a buy one, get one free surgery.
No one's surprised.
BOGO deals.
So, yeah, I don't think that she could hear her initially. Or I don't think she thought April could hear her. Sorry. And then April says she just needs to have the intercom on because Hunt like wants her to kind of stay abreast of the situation and like know what's going on and update him when it's done so that he can come and tell Teddy about Henry, which obviously he doesn't do. Another prediction wrong by Carmen.
What? I literally all I said Christina was going to tell her.
No, you didn't. You said specifically Owen or Richard would tell her.
Yeah, I did say that. I do very vividly remember making that prediction. Everyone, this is Carmen. I'm not going to get into my social security number or anything like that. I admit that I had an incorrect prediction. I thought it was going to be Richard or Hunt telling Teddy.
But what did you think of the scene where Christina tells her, though? Because it was...
I think a word that comes to mind is flawless. It was a perfect scene.
So good. And I love that they didn't underscore it with music. Both of them are emotional. The whole, like, you have to say it, or I can't, like, they teach you that in med school. You have to say it so that the family can, like, process it. Like, I've never thought about it until now. Like, you have to tell me. And so Christina says he's dead. And it's just, like... It's awful, but it's done so well.
Yeah. So from the second, Teddy's like, all right, Christina, go ahead and close up. Like, you do the honors. And Christina is like, April, get down here. Like, get your ass down here. You're doing this. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. Christina's going to tell her. I actually did have to rewatch that whole scene twice. It was just so good. It was so well acted.
On both of them. Like, we've talked before about how the chemistry between those two actors is so great. And, like, the relationship that's already established is really strong. But, like, individually, they're both such strong actors. And then, to, like, have this scene where they're both emotional in such different ways. It's so, so well written, so well performed.
And there's just... I don't know what the writers or the showrunners were giving as like the feedback to this scene specifically, but both Sandra Oh, and who plays Teddy?
Kim Raver. I knew it. I was like, he's going to do it.
You know me too well. Kim Raver and Sandra Oh. They acted just enough to where you could feel the second that they parted ways, they were going to collapse and not collapse, but like the emotion was going to consume
them. Like they were
both
like holding back in that moment and they were like wanting to find like a safe space to like feel it all on their own.
So having both of them deliver both of their scenes where the entire emotional state is on the precipice of collapse is like so well performed, absolutely incredible. And even when Does Teddy say thank you to Christina?
I think so, yeah.
Do you want to pull up the receipts on this one? I feel like this one deserves some receipts.
I have it.
And then when Christina actually, like, Teddy leaves the room and Christina just has that breath and she looks up and it's like, man, this is...
Yeah, Christina says Henry is dead and Teddy says thank you and leaves.
Can you give us the scene?
Yeah. Okay, so she asks to speak privately to Teddy, and Teddy, they go to the scrub room. Teddy says, what's up, are you okay? Christina says, when we brought your husband into the OR, we originally thought we could go in with a bronchoscope and a laser. However, there was a lot of bleeding, so we had to open him up. And Teddy says, wait, you know, Owen said that, Christina. When we opened him up, we saw that his tumor had eroded his pulmonary artery. Dr. Weber and I both used extraordinary measures, and that's when Teddy starts, no, no, no. Christina, we used extraordinary measures, but his heart could not tolerate the excessive bleeding. He did not survive the surgery. I'm sorry. Teddy, you're saying he's dead. Yes, say it. Teddy, when you inform the family, you have to say it so they know it's really happening. It's the first thing that you're taught in med school. I never really thought about it, but now I get it. And Christina, I need you to say it. Henry is dead. Thank you. And then we all died inside a little bit.
So I know that we have a lot of people who love Henry, and mm-hmm. I think we have quite a few Teddy stans in our Discord and in Patreon and just from Instagram messages. I will tell you that I don't think I could be wrong. I don't think I ever hated Teddy. I also don't think I ever hated Henry. I also, if I'm remembering correctly, don't think I ever hated Teddy and Henry together. It didn't make sense, and they kind of slow ramped that storyline a lot. Mm-hmm. It was very, they gave it a lot of room to grow and breathe, and it sucks because this is the end of the line for these two, but you get a lot of emotion. Their storyline served their purpose. That scene where she goes back into the room and the nurse or the other doctor,
we're gonna have to talk about that at length.
Yeah, it's just, man, there's so much emotion. There's so much. So I gotta tell you, this great.
The
great
scene
acting.
Where Teddy goes to the OR and there's like a nurse in there charting, or an orderly. I'm not really sure what the title is. An OR personnel in there. It's already been cleaned. Henry's still there. And she asks the person for the chart and she tells her to get out. And then she sits down and she's kind of sitting there for a minute. And then she goes to pull back the covering that's over him. And the moment this, like, I actively think about this moment constantly, like with wild regularity for something that's so irrelevant to most of the things I'm doing on a day-to-day basis. The moment that she pulls the blat back, because she kind of like follows her hands when she's pulling it back, and then like when she looks to his face and then like collapses in her own arms, like I just think about that one like motion, because the face that she makes, you just see everything. She's such an incredible actor. And it's just the saddest thing that has ever happened.
Yeah, there's kind of like both ends of the spectrum of loss happening in this this episode, because you have the loss of Henry, who I think a lot of people, I wouldn't say the majority, but there's a good number of people probably enjoyed him as a character.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I'm not on blogs or like community posts,
right?
So I don't know if Teddy was a well-liked character or is a well-liked character. She could still be on the show for all I know, but I like Teddy, and you have a well-liked character die, a well-liked character observing the death, and then on the other end of the spectrum you have people who you've never even really seen their faces dying, and you're feeling bad for the like the most emotion that you're feeling is for the people who live past their loved ones.
Yeah.
So it's just a lot of emotionally charged scenes. And yeah, when she's in that room and it's just like one singular light on her, the rest of the room is dark.
And there's like, yeah, they have one shot at the very end of the episode of her just sitting there and it's like from above.
Yeah.
And it's like spotlight. Oh my God. So well done. I will say also like the choice and like thinking about what it is for Christina's character to be operating and like knowing, like by the time she gets to the point where she's telling Teddy, it seems like she's thought it, but she's been thinking about this for the whole time that she's been in there. She's like, how am I going to tell her? She's got it. Like she knows what she's going to say. She says it matter-of-factly. I wouldn't say it's like callous at all, but I think she's just like trying to be like, this is what happened. This is the situation. So you think she's been sitting on that whilst actively working with Teddy in this other life-threatening situation for this other patient for however long. And that's fucking brutal. And then Owen comes in and is like, where's Teddy? And Christina's like, I don't know. And he's like, you shouldn't have told her. And she's like, it doesn't fucking matter who tells her. Like, her husband dies. Who told her that that's what happened is irrelevant. I don't give a shit. She's not going to give a shit. This isn't about you and what you wanted to happen. This is only about her. So respectfully, fuck off.
Yeah. And I think at one point, Hunt is like, He said it's the only way or something. And she's like, I know. I just don't want to hear it. And I promise you that neither will she.
Yeah.
And that's what really sucks about all of this. For all of the crap that Owen gets, deservedly so, for him being still a piece of garbage. He is making the right choice. They made the right choice to not tell her. It would have sucked if the lady would have died, because then yes, it's all for nothing, truly. So
yeah.
Let's just take a quick second before we keep going to the rest of this storyline here. Quick message from our regional sponsors. We'll be right back. Here we go.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl. Happy Friday. It's Jen. Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts. Like, last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
And we are back. Okay. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
I agree. Like, oh, there's no winning for Owen as much as he sucks. There's no good choice in this. There's like, yeah, I hate what you did, but I'm not like, well, you should have done this instead. I'm like, you should have just not had this happen to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love the scene where Christina tells her and it's underscored with silence, and then they leave and have their own like follow-up emotions separately. I think you make a good point about like, it's, you feel sad for the people that continue to live without their loved ones. And like, yes, it's hard because especially like right before this, you know, they were really like ramping up the Henry character. They're like, look, you can actually know and love this character because we are about to kill him. So
yeah,
by all means, please be attached.
We've cured his disease, and he even had singing lines in our musical. So don't worry, guys.
He's clearly permanent.
Yeah. Oh, wink. He's going to medical school. Wink.
Yeah. So just brutal overall.
And the second, the artistic choice for the rest of this episode, like from the scene where Christina says that line, and neither will she. Then the music starts right at that point.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then you kind of have this montage, which again, the song is by Zola Jesus or Jesus. That's when Teddy goes in. She looks at the chart, touches his hair, We get the Bailey and Ben scene, which is very cute.
Mm-hmm, very cute. He says, like, I'm giving you space. And she says, it would be okay if you didn't give me as much space. So he comes and sits with her and holds her hand.
Yeah. And she even she even says it, too. She's like, I didn't just lose a patient today. I lost a friend.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think that there's a double meaning to that. Maybe I'm looking too far into it from a creative standpoint, but she lost Henry, who's a friend. But a part of Teddy died today. Like, when you lose your partner, you change.
That's a good read. I agree. That's definitely true. Like, if when someone that, if you have a good friend and they lose someone, they are changed, for sure. So I agree with that take. Also, the scene with Teddy and Henry, it's like maybe, I don't know, maybe 2 minutes total, like, because they cut back to it several times. But you just understand and feel so much when nothing is being said. Yeah. And that is a tribute to the directing, the acting, the writing, the editing, like all of it. It's just so well done. Yeah. And you just, like, as a viewer, you understand so much in those moments. And it's unfortunate things that you're understanding, but.
And hopefully the things that you're understanding are things you'll never have to actually in real life experience.
Yeah. So, is there anything else we haven't talked about?
Well, just kind of like the rest of that montage, I kind of want to, like, just take this through the end of the episode before we circle back to.
Yeah.
Was her name Lauren, the woman with scoliosis?
Oh, Laura, yeah.
Laura.
Kelly's patient. I forgot about her.
So, Ben and Bailey, they hold hands as a gentle handhold. And I'm like, the note that I wrote was, Bailey, there you go. Let this guy love you. Like, just do it. Mark tells, or Derek tells Mark to not screw things up with Julia. Yeah,
she's a keeper. He says she's a keeper. And Lexi hears.
The scene where all of the kids are sitting there in the same room together. They all live. Very potent.
And she's about to tell. Meredith is like, I'll be right out here if you need anything. Because she's about to tell them the worst news of their life.
Yeah. And then you get, right before we get the Zola delivery, you have a
Callie and Jackson.
Oh, well, that too. But I was going to talk about the Meredith ordering breakfast pizza. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Which was it 39 hours straight or 29 hours straight?
39
hours. Yeah, that's, I can't even imagine my body. No.
You and I both are not, we don't do well with little to no sleep.
No. And I've gotten worse with age. Yeah, I've gotten worse.
I've gotten worse now living a life where I get arguably way less sleep than I've ever gotten in before. So it's going really well. And I'm about to just introduce a newborn to that situation. So everything's great.
Good for you. You know, the difference between our youths with, like, the not having sleep is I could go to work on, like, 2 hours of sleep, maybe do a double, because I know that my life had nothing going on after that shift where I could sleep for 17 hours straight if I needed to. That doesn't happen anymore.
I've never been great with that little sleep, I will say. I've always needed at least like a 5 or 6 hours.
I remember I was working at Finish Line one time in Christmas season, and HQ decided that they were going to send like a corporate visit the week before Christmas. And I pulled a double that day, and then I slept inside the store because we were doing like refreshes and like stocking and cleaning.
Yep.
So I took some socks out of a package and I like slept on them as a pillow on a on a bench. And then me and the two other managers ordered White Castle at like 4 a.m. And then we went back to work, and then I worked a double, and then I legit slept, I think, for almost 24 hours straight after that.
Yeah. Michael had a shift on his CP where the turnaround time was like 6 hours. So he just slept like in his car in the Hollywood Studios parking lot.
There you go. Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. So Laura
Yes. Laura lives, thank God. They repair whatever the fuck Jackson did. Jackson's upset. He's like, I should take the fall. And Callie's like, I agree, but I'm not going to let you because it's still technically my fault. And like, you're going to learn a lesson from this. And when you're in my position, you're going to double check your own work. You're going to double check your residence work. Like, at the end of the day, it's still my OR, regardless of who did it. I will talk to him. Like, you will learn from this, but I'm going to take care of it. So,
well, even before that, like in the middle of all of this stuff going on, I think Jackson goes and talks to the guy.
Husband.
And he's like,
good news.
You've disassembled my wife. Her heart is out of her body. And you think this is good news? Like, what is going on, bro?
Yeah. Yeah. Which, like, I understand where he's coming from. He's also probably sleep deprived. But I'm like, if they're telling you that she's going to live, like, that is good news. Because for a minute, she wasn't going to. I understand it is their fault and it is unacceptable what happened. And, like, you'll probably get a settlement, let's be real. But
yeah. But at one point, her heart was just a ground beef patty. So, like, it's okay
out
now.
Out of her body.
Yeah.
Yeah, so insane. I don't know if do we have anything else really to like add on that one? It's kind of like shoehorned in weird places, I will say.
Yeah. For as much happened in this episode, there's not like, I mean, there's a lot of storyline. There's a lot of things, but it happens like very quick. You almost don't even get a chance to fully like recover as things are going.
I will say I hated the moment when like Callie says something to Owen, like, why haven't you told Teddy yet? Like, she's still operating on Laura. And Owen's like, well, it's your fault. She has to do that anyway. So, like, this is all your fault. And I'm like, all right, pump the fucking brakes, Owen.
Yeah,
that
was
stop
an unfair...
with the finger pointing.
And also, like, there is no correlation. A equals B does not mean that B equals C here. Like, this is not the same thing.
Yeah, it's just tension and, like, a lot of, like, placing blame when A, it doesn't make any difference, and B, like, that's not how it works. Like, that's not true to what is the situation. So
yeah, are we gonna blame the manufacturer of the engine of the ambulance because these three people died? Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just one of those things. I'm like, I think it is human nature to assign blame in situations, but at the end of the day, it often doesn't help and it actually does hurt. So,
yeah,
because it hurts the relationship and it doesn't solve the problem.
Yeah.
So,
anyways, I know that we talked a lot about all this, but were there any Discord questions?
Yes, I was just going to say. Maddie says, how does Henry's death compare in sadness to other deaths we've had on the show so far? I think Henry's death is sadder than Denny's. I said it. I think it is a hot take. Maybe people will tell me that that it's not a hot take and they agree with me. But I think that it's sadder than Denny's death.
So here's a couple of thoughts. And number one, as our resident president of the Teddy fan club. What the fuck is her last name?
Are you
Teddy's
having a stroke?
Yeah. What's Teddy's last
name? Altman.
Altman. I don't know. I was going to say Mosby as a joke, but that would have, you know. Maddie is the president of the Teddy Altman fan club is what I was trying to say before I died.
Yes, and the Teddy Henry fan club.
Yes. I could tell you right now, and if I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, I will own it. Henry and Denny's deaths both are more sad than George, I think.
George is the most shocking.
George is shocking.
The one you see coming the least. And I think also because it's a main character, people are like, oh my God. I agree with you. If I had to rank all three of those, George would be third as far as sadness. For me, I also find the attachment between Henry and Teddy more genuine than the attachment between Denny and Izzy. So I'm like more sad for Teddy's loss than I was for Izzy's loss. Izzy handled it badly because was an unstable person. But it's just my opinion.
Also, here's the thing. We don't watch George get hit by a truck, a bus. We see the aftermath. We see George dead, kind of like already teetering. We see Denny go like, oh, that's weird. My heart feels like I'm... and he's dead.
Nailed the impression.
You can't... This is an audio podcast. You can't see what I do.
We might have to pull that, though. We might have to pull that.
But, like, we watch, and there's a glimmer of hope for every single second of Henry's surgery. Mm-hmm. That's what makes this the hardest death of a main character to date, in my opinion. Because at any moment, he could walk out of that surgery and Christina goes, crushed it, nailed it. Or,
well, yeah, and also because I think you don't think they'll do that to Christina. Because
right.
It's
she just
shitty.
Got over Derek and,
you know, you
and
keep
Gary Clark.
That was the season 6 finale. We are in season 8.
But in Gray's time, that was like, yes, that was last week.
That's probably true. Who knows? It may have been 4 years ago. It may have been 4 days ago. We'll never know.
4 minutes ago. Gary Clark is, his body is still in the other room.
Gary Clark is still there. They haven't wheeled him out yet.
If they give Gary Clark an episode where in the afterlife he's hanging with Alice Gray and Dylan, that's not okay with me.
That's a fair take, I think.
I don't want him to come back as a voice of reason for anyone in the show.
Yeah.
He took Reed and like Charles from us.
A bad voice of reason. Okay. And then she says, Maddie also says, not a question, just a call out to discuss how good Sandra Oh and Kim Raver's acting performance was. So true. And then Teddy's scene Wallace. Where she goes to see Henry being like one of the saddest ones.
Yeah.
Where does Carmen rate/put Henry and Teddy as a couple compared to past and present couple at Grey's? How did you like them?
I am not the right person to ask for this because I, as much as I love, I don't think there's any characters on the show that I find very compelling in a couple. With that being said, I think that Henry and Teddy are more compelling as a couple for darn sure than Owen and Christina.
Mm-hmm. It's also nice to watch the arc, like knowing where it started and like kind of the opposition they face going into it and then like where it came from, like where it's gone to.
I maintain, I think I said this last week, that Weber had an adjacency arc that was also flawless, from shaming Teddy to doing what he did to pull his weight in the lie, the ruse to Christina. Mm-hmm. Incredible. I would say probably on this show I liked Teddy and Henry. I had the least problems with them as a couple. I think probably Lexi and Mark I was rooting for the most. I still root for them. But Derek and Meredith, like, I never really, really rooted for them. George and Izzy, while I called it, I was never really rooting for them, you know? So I would say higher on the higher of the mean.
Yeah. Okay. Katya says, if you were in Lily's place, would you be able to make difficult medical decisions for loved ones? Now, yes. 18 me? I truly don't think so. I don't know.
18-year-old Carmen was a mess.
Yeah. Again, because we have extended family, I would be like, we can call. There's a lot of other people I can call. I got doctors in my family. I'm going to call them up. I ain't doing this shit.
Yeah. No, thank you. Definitely could do it now, though, Katya.
For Christina and Owen's relationship moving forward.
I just don't care. I want to see them broken up. I want to see... I don't want them together. I don't. Yeah. I don't think they're... Like, there are times where Owen and Christina are good together. And there's times when Owen is a good person. And Christina, I would say, for the most part, I like her character. With a couple of... See, it's opposites. I kind of don't like Owen. There's a couple of glimpses that I do like him. Christina, I... overall like her, and there's a couple of glimpses where I'm like, eesh. But yeah, I want them to break up. It's just I don't like them together.
It doesn't feel in game.
No. It doesn't
feel inevitable.
it doesn't feel Taylor and Travis, you know?
I do know.
See, that's a celebrity couple I can get behind. This Tom Holland if and you, Zendaya
Carmen,
garbage, I don't want to hear
canceled.
It.
You're going to get yourself canceled. Oh my God, he's going to get himself canceled. There's a reason. If I don't bring something up to roast you on the podcast, it's because it needs to stay out of the public eye. And you not caring about Tom Holland and Zendaya is something that people don't need to know about.
I'm just saying. I'm not just saying, I'm just saying.
I am also saying. You can all cancel Carmen if you want, but you have to still listen to the podcast.
cancel Carmen this episode, just for this one. Everything else is still fine.
What about your predictions for Christina and Teddy's relationship? And then Owen and Teddy's relationship.
I don't think that Teddy stays on the show much longer. I think that she leaves. I think that she's going to be gone before the end of the season. I don't think that there's any way that she can stay at the hospital where her supposed best friend, her supposed mentee, and her supposed former chief of surgery slash now peer and Bailey, her other peer, had all of them had conspired to lie to her, accomplished the lie. The whole hospital at that point was in on the lie, basically. Mm-hmm. And then to also have her husband dead. Like, I don't think there's any... There's so much negative energy. She has to leave. She's leaving.
Yeah. Okay, so this was the 10th episode. There are 24 episodes in the season. So if you had to say... Teddy is leaving. You said by the end of the season. Do you think it's just in the last episode, or do you think it's like sooner than that? Because there's still 14 episodes.
What I'm hopeful is they give her a send off. I think that Teddy has done enough as a character to where she can get like a positive, like I'm choosing to leave. Everything is okay. Mm-hmm. Like it's part. Maybe it's part of her healing journey is to leave. But all of the main characters that we've gotten have said goodbye have like died or been written off because they did something egregious off screen. So.
Or had. Yeah, they had to go be on another show.
Yeah.
Henry.
Henry. Right. But even Han, like right before they got rid of Han, they I think she gay shamed Callie, right? Like
she said you can't be kind of a lesbian. She was basically like, you have to be all lesbian or all straight.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So you're hoping they don't make Teddy shitty before they make her leave?
Yeah. She doesn't deserve that. She just lost her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason that she married him was to be a good person.
Yeah.
She deserves a little bit of good karma.
I agree. Okay. Oh, my list. I was looking up the dates that episodes aired. And I got distracted. Okay. After everything Christina has gone through, what are your predictions for her as a character? Will she still be able to trust the people she's working with?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe not Owen, which is going to lead to their demise.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. Now that Zola is home with Meredith and Derek, what are your predictions for their family?
I don't know. I'm very curious how this is going to go, like their storyline, because we never see Bailey's kid. Who else even has kids on the show?
Let me just say, I did write the last note I wrote was that baby is cute as fuck.
Hell yeah.
That is a cute ass baby.
Yeah. I really don't know. I need to see. What I do think is going to be nice is we'll finally stop seeing whimsical Alex. Like, he'll finally get out of his head. Like, whatever transgressions he did, like the garbagey things that he did, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Everything worked out. Like, we're good. So I'm sick and tired of his, like, you should. It's all my fault.
Yeah.
It is. But, like, shut up.
Okay. Other predictions. Anything for Lexi and Mark and Julia?
Yeah, threesome for sure.
Oh man, it's been forever since we had a threesome prediction. And by forever, I think maybe two episodes. I don't know.
I mean,
I don't
Lexi's...
think you predicted one last episode. If you did, I blacked it out.
So. Lexi said she liked her.
Okay, did you have a real prediction or?
Oh yeah. So here's I'm gonna lay it all out for you guys. Okay. Before the end of before the end of season eight, here's what's gonna happen. There's gonna be four things that happen. Okay. This is an official prediction chain. Adele will die. Hunt and Christina will get a divorce. Teddy will leave the show, and Mark and Lexi will kiss. These all will happen over the next 14 episodes. I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know why, but they will.
Do you have anything for Alex or Jackson?
They're also going to kiss.
Alex said, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm on board. Mm-hmm. And Mark, is he the other person in the threesome?
Well, he's in his own threesome.
Oh, right, right, sorry.
And then he's in that threesome.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay. Yeah, Jackson, April, Alex.
I think that, I don't know if it's this season or next season, but Jackson and April are going to get together. April is going to do something naughty with Jackson.
Okay, you did say that about April and Alex as well. So are you leaning more towards one or the other?
I think I'm taking Alex out of the equation. I don't think Alex, that ship has sailed. Izzy's going to come back for him at the exact same time that Ava Rebecca comes back. And they're going to have a threesome.
Okay. Love that.
And then Jackson, Alex, and Kepner are going to have a threesome.
Okay.
You know who I'm okay if I never see again? Stark. Get out of here. I hope I never see that man again. Where is he?
You know what? Yeah, he might be gone. I actually don't remember.
Good. Get out of here.
Yeah, truly fine. Truly fine.
Bring back Thatcher while you're at it. Bring back Patricia. Bring back Olivia.
Well, you said they're going to bring back Adele to kill her, so.
Adele's going to die. She's going to die.
Adele is going to die. Adele's
going
to die.
And if not, I just need an update on how her Alzheimer's is going. Like,
yeah. Okay, is there anyone else we need to make a prediction on? Have we covered? I feel like we covered everybody. Callie in Arizona. So. They don't really have really seen any of them together lately.
Yeah, they're just being good parents.
Yeah.
That's all I got, yeah. Oh, okay. Bailey and Warren are for sure going to get back together.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I think they're going to, in between this episode and the next episode, have had sex, and it's going to open the next episode on them in bed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And okay, let's rate this episode then.
I think we probably have the same score.
A 5.
Yeah.
It's so true.
So,
and for
individual
being... Sorry, go ahead.
Individual episodes, 5. Combined, 5.
That's what I was going to say, because a lot of the ones that we've had that like were two parts, it was hard to rate the first one a 5 because it was so unfinished. But it was interesting that this one, which is two parts, but they were six weeks apart in airing, were both so clearly 5s on standalone. Actually, did we give the last one 5s? We might not have. I might be thinking of something else.
I think.
Let me look.
I think we did. I feel like Yeah, I'm like, hold on.
Yeah, we did give the last one 5. It was heart-shaped box. We gave just under 5. And, Put Me In Coach, we also gave. I was saying in the Discord chat that you're not in. I'll be interested to see at the end of this season. I want to like catalog and see which season has the most 5s. Because so far this season has a lot for having only 10 episodes. I think we've given like five episodes, five.
Well, part of the problem of this, of what we're experiencing, is especially seasons one through probably three, maybe four. I was still, I think at one point, maybe even mid season two, where I was like, I don't know if I give this one a five, I can't give that one a five. And I think I didn't really understand fully how I wanted to grade the episodes.
Either the bomb or the train episode.
I think it was Into You Like a Train.
Was the first one you gave a five to.
Yeah. And I think I need to rewatch some of those episodes because objectively, I feel like the writing has hit a stride and it's in a really, really great spot right now. But Subjectively, I think some of those episodes probably could have been closer to fives. I just didn't love the show the way that I do now. Mm-hmm. And also, I think there's a layer to it as well that you have where, and I will have now as well, but knowing kind of where things go, you can kind of look
what
at
they're
those
building
scores.
Towards. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I feel like, honestly, for the most part, I think our scores have not been terribly far off other than that one terrible episode that I gave like a two and you gave a five. Other
Which
than
I've
that,
since
I do think
redacted.
Even,
I've redacted that. Yes. Retracted.
Even though
redacted.
We have variances, it's typically like within a point of each other. So even with like the hindsight that I have, I feel like when we look at the episodes as standalones, we are looking at them similarly. And kind of just can appreciate like when an episode is really good. But I would be interested to see if you went back and rewatch things, like if those ratings would change or not. And we'll, you know, maybe one day we'll get there, but right now we're just going forward, you know,
yeah,
there's so much more content to watch. They're still making more. Do you
and they never will stop.
Say?
Oh, they'll never
stop.
Doesn't
seem like they will. I'm going to be honest.
I don't have anything else to add other than this was a good episode, great acting, and I'm sorry for the people who had to wait 6 weeks. I had to wait 6 days. So, like,
yeah.
I can't imagine.
I will say, when we pushed something last week or another and you had already watched the episode, I was like, good. Now he has to wait a little bit longer like the rest of us had to.
Yeah, that's funny. No, that's all I got. This was a good episode. Really loved it. Yeah, really excited for the next one.
And there were a lot of people on Discord that were really excited to see this storyline kind of come to a head and get your take on it. Because it's several things. You know, it's the Henry, but it's also the Zola. And so I'm glad it's another milestone that we've hit in the Grey's timeline. And yay us. It was kind of hard. I was talking to Jessica like a week ago or something, and I was like, oh, I'm about to watch the episode where Henry dies. And I was like, it's really sad, but like Carmen knew basically as soon as they introduced Henry that he was going to die, A, because they introduced him as having a chronic illness, and B, because you've already watched Scandal, so he knows he has to go be Jake.
But
I was like, they still did it. Like, the way they do it is still like, it makes you feel things even if you know it's coming.
Yeah. I still didn't want him to die.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're glad to get this moment. Thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure you're following us on everything. You can find our website at graysacademypod.com, and that has links to everything you could possibly want: merch, Patreon, socials, everywhere you can listen. If you have the time to leave a review and you haven't done that, we'd really appreciate it. And share us everywhere that you can. We'd really appreciate that too. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, just remember,
no spoilies. Bundle up. Stay warm.
Stay safe.
Stay safe with the wildfires. Stay safe just with life. We appreciate you all. Let our voices keep you warm and keep you safe in the dead of night, in the dead of winter. We'll see you all in the next one.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.